This is Pure Decking, show number 356 for Thursday, July the 11th, whatever year it is. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and remember, sometimes it really is just a loose fucking screw. I'm Morps, and tonight, very poignant, I'll tell the story in a moment, and tonight we have Madman. What's up, Madman?
Nothing. Life's becoming a tedious, never-ending cycle. But I have beer.
You know what it sounds like you need? A midlife crisis.
I don't have enough billions to pull that off. I mean, I'll end up in prison. I'm not like that dude with the airplane and the island. They will ship me off forever. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't have a midlife crisis. He was an evil bastard. I'm just going to rob banks here in a couple years. That's my plan.
Planning ahead? Gonna have clown masks when you're ready to go?
No, I actually unlocked the ball gag mask.
And a three-piece suit that is somehow bulletproof?
Yes. Dude, they actually can make this Type 2 body armor.
Yeah.
I'm buying one before I go.
Now you just make me want a mask of AOC for some reason.
They would just give you the money. They just like, nope, get that the fuck out of here. Nope.
No, dude, if you're joining, it's going to be the goat mask. It's always the goat mask.
Yeah, this bizarre idea now, like a team of fucking progressive masks robbing banks. Sounds like it'd be great.
So at what point do you start giving this to the poor? Excuse me?
What? Wait, what?
I think Bernie's got three houses and he doesn't donate anything to charity. It's going to be a bit.
We missed a step, guys. Madman, you've been working on this plan for years. I think you're... Are we missing a bit? No?
No.
They're just nuts.
I'm poor. We're giving it the money. We're taking the money and giving it to me. Y'all can have some of it, maybe.
Yes.
Oh, if we're doing progressive, can I have the Pocahontas mask?
Yeah.
Great.
But you can't join my group. I fucking hate you. You're an old racist.
But I'm an Indian. Indians
look,
can't be racist.
I am the Democratic Party now, you fucking old racist.
Can I paint myself something? Oh, no.
Yes, but do it over there.
But do it over there. Oh, yeah. NRU is here. We didn't even finish the damn intro.
Once again, like Madman, life is tedious, but that's why we read news.
So.
That's why we watch the little videos with the cats.
With that, too.
That's when I'm horny. Right, wrong videos.
Wrong videos. Unless you live in Oregon. Portland, specifically.
Yeah, but then I have to do it in a dog park.
Gross.
But I associate as a cat.
So, anyways, the loose screw joke is I have a 3D printer I've been fighting with for a couple of weeks. I flashed the firmware. I put a new bed on it. I redid the belts. I did everything on this thing. Fucking call it on the Z-axis was loose. One screw.
That's how you take a 5-minute job and make it last a week and a half.
Pretty much, man. You would have thought I was working for the Department of Roads.
Only if you're working on I-65. That sucker's always down.
But, yeah. I mean, I tried everything to get this printer going. It's just a fucking loose screw on the Z-axis, call it. Son of a bitch. And the thing is, if you manually trammed the printer, it would move just fine. if you like reached around and just grabbed the Z-axis, you know, give the printer a reach around, it'd work fine. If you moved the printer with the little LCD and we're just moving the Z-axis up and down to test it, it'd be fine. No, it was only when it was trying to do the fine steps in between layers that instead of moving, it would just shake because it couldn't overcome the slack. Like, son of a bitch. Anyways. But I've got three 3D printers running at the moment and enough parts to build three more. I might have an issue. Anyways. Building a print farm, but I don't really know what for.
You're going to start printing people instead of parts of people. Like, you built a prosthetic hand, now you're going to go legs and everything else, and then you'll just have fake people.
Just an apartment full of 3D printed fake people. God, that'd be creepy. That'd be like, ooh, you know, BBC special creepy.
Yeah, you can set them up to have like a tea party and then get on the television and be famous.
Dude, that's almost fucked up enough for Louis Theroux. Come out and do a doco on you, that pompous Brit little faggot.
Oh, Psychros just reminded us. Anyone who's playing the 3D printing drinking game, we apologize to your next of kin. So first article I've got up for the, I guess, the lead article, lead story. I mean, you can't make this shit up. This is from the BBC, and like every other article tonight is from the BBC, but that's all right. A U.S. lawyer who uploaded pornography to file-sharing sites and then sued people who downloaded it has been sentenced to 5 years in jail. I think that's literally, I mean, he was literally setting a trap.
A nice scam. The shame you kids were here to foil it.
Yeah. John Steele co-founded a firm called Prenda Law. We've talked about these assholes before because a lot of people suspected they were doing this. Prenda Law that set up and then ran the porn trolling scheme. His Prenda partner, Paul Hasmere, was jailed for 14 years in June for his role in the scam. Steele faced a sentence of more than 10 years, but this was reduced because he cooperated with prosecutors. Prenda Law ran its porn trolling ring from 2010 to 2013 and is believed to have netted the firm more than $6 million. It accused people of pirating pornographic films it had uploaded to file sharing sites, and many people preferred to pay several thousand dollars to Prenda rather than challenge the accusation in court. Yes, we see here you were down. You know, yes, Mr. Johnson, we see you were downloading here big black gay men and dogs. Yeah, I can see why people would pay rather than have that go into the public record.
That's when you just concede without having them read it. You can do that. No, that just means somebody's going to type it in later, but you just don't get to hear it.
Well, that's when you go for the most fucked up shit you can find to try to make a court reporter choke on it, you know?
Like, I spent days on E-Fucked. You're just going to gag.
You know what the sad part is? Most court reporters are probably so immune to this shit, they probably just go on 4chan for fun. You know?
Casual. B is casual reading for them.
Yeah. It's like we're sitting there looking at it going, oh, they're just sitting there going, oh, yep, yep, yep. Had something about three times as worse as that in the job last Tuesday. So...
Is it entrapment if he's not advertising it?
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was technically only entrapment if law enforcement was doing it. And technically, these guys aren't law enforcement. It's a legal firm.
Yeah.
Or is it? Now I got to Google it. Shit. I don't know.
And you also got to think this is Britain as well. Laws are different over there. But I'm still thinking at least... The way it works over here, if the cop comes up to you and says, "I'll suck you for like $25," and you take her up on it, it's entrapment. If I walk up to a police officer and offer, isn't it just sexual harassment?
I think so. I think that's why whenever you see cops, they never, you know, it's always, "Well, what would you do? Well, what would you do?" You know, it's like, well, what do you want? I don't know. What do you do? You know, it's they never, the cop never offers it up because then it is entrapment.
Yeah. So the dude's not offering it. You're looking for it. You're asking. At least whenever you're doing a Google search.
Yeah. The initial results of searching were unclear, so I'm still not sure. Federal investigators began probing Prenda in 2012 after it sued two large U.S. ISPs it accused of helping subscribers pirate pornographic films. The investigation discovered Prenda had been uploading the pornographic films to which it owned the copyright to file sharing sites itself to encourage people to pirate them. In addition, the fees paid by many of the alleged pirates had been funneled through shell companies to hide the fact that they were actually going to steal an hamster. Hamsmeyer? His name is not Hamster. At his sentencing hearing, Steele said he made stupid decisions, reported tech news site Ars Technica. His lawyer agreed, his actions have been reprehensible, abhorrent, and criminal. Steele and Hamster have also been ordered to repay $1.5 million to victims of the porn piracy scheme. So, pretty sure the way the laws are written, that when you make a copyright claim, it has to be a good faith effort. I mean, this
he's defrauding the court.
Yeah, and this is the equivalent of leaving the new car in the bad part of town under the overpass with the keys in it and the door unlocked. It's like, yeah, somebody still stole that car, and they're still guilty of stealing that car. But you did kind of, you know, lay a trail of candy to it.
How did they get away with bait car then?
I don't know.
They don't leave the keys?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they leave it running sometimes.
Yeah, they leave it running. It must be in a state where that sort of shit's legal.
Just got a judge or, you know, public defender so you don't give a shit about it.
That's all I'm thinking. Like, I get it. Like, I get bait car and shit like that, and the fucking show is hilarious. But, yeah, it's a little funky, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. You know what I mean?
Well, that one, it's still, the cops aren't enticing them to break the law. They're just doing it.
I mean, yeah.
This is a similar idea of what I'm having.
Okay, that's the low expectation. You're just expecting them to take it because they're low socioeconomics.
Well, right. But I mean, you got to remember, most people, I mean, most crime is crime of opportunity, right? So, you know, this is somebody who'd break into a car. Well, maybe, but would this person have broken into that car if you hadn't left it running in front of him with a sign that says, please steal me? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that gets into some philosophical debate, actually.
Well, I'd like to take a bait car up to fucking Hollywood and shit like that and leave it in car parks there and see what happens.
You know damn well what's going to happen.
I know what happens if you leave a car with all the doors and windows open. Well, at least a couple of doors open and the keys in it at Holiday World. Somebody shuts the door so it doesn't kill your battery and they turn the keys into lost and found.
Damn. That's
pretty
good
much how
right
it
there.
Happens here, man. Yeah, I don't know. I want to watch Bait Car now. I'll be watching Cops all week, man. Got to change it up.
But, yeah, I'm not sure this is quite in the whole, I'm not sure that they entrapped anyone. Because they didn't, unless they were advertising the site, or did they,
Are you, so you download his video, did he own the video? Was the porn of him?
Well, he owned the copyright of it.
Now, if he put it onto the on the piracy site, then he consented to have people download it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
Because if you upload something to a site that you know people are going to download from, it would be essentially trying to sue the listeners of Galaxy 15 for fucking downloading one of our shows instead of listening off at the live player. We have our expectation that people are going to download it. He put it up on that website. It has to be an expectation of people are going to download it.
Yeah. If I didn't want you to download it, we wouldn't post the fucking MP3s.
So that's where the crimes come from. It's not from people downloading his porn. It's from him leveraging them. Blackmail. Essentially, he blackmailed all those people. Give me money or I fucking tell people what you've been watching.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's blackmail. I'll take my law degree now. Thank you.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think that's exactly what it is.
So fuck him.
Yeah.
He'll be disbarred for this, won't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, how many lawyers get to keep their ability to practice law in prison?
It depends on what you're in prison for. The reason he's losing his law license isn't necessarily that he's a criminal. It's because he defrauded the court. You can't knowingly lie to the court and keep your license.
Yeah.
Like, the reason Billy Boy lost his law license wasn't because he committed mortgage fraud. It's because he committed perjury. So, yeah, you can be a criminal and a lawyer. And sometimes that's the lawyer you want.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a criminal attorney, and sometimes you need a criminal that's an attorney.
Honey.
Thanks, Saul.
Thank you, Saul.
So if you're looking for that sort of representation, come on down to Mad Men and Are You Lawyers R Us.
I've got to say, I may or may not have a license, depending on if that's required.
Well, we don't have licenses.
We are not a law firm, but we can pretend to be for the right amount.
We have a nice fern in the lobby.
And at least one functional toilet in the office.
Except for Mo Mondays. You don't want to be dead on Mo Monday.
Oh, that's kind of messed up. Anyways, so yeah, happy to see this guy go down just because it's a really shitty way to operate.
Yeah, fuck him. Parasite.
All right, so what do we have next?
What we have next is from TheVerge.com. Former Tesla employee admits uploading autopilot source code to his iCloud account.
And there's a reason he's a former employee.
This is why when you work for a large corporation, they block all the file sharing sites on their corporate proxy or firewalls. It's not because they're really pissed at you for checking your Gmail and wasting everybody's time. It's because they don't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm. They don't want corporate secrets to be dumped out. Hey, Ford, do you want to know how to make a really good self-driving car? Here's what we're working on.
Oh, it's worse than that. It's worse than
Ford.
Don't
look at Tesla.
Gunzai.
Did he maliciously dump it?
That's what Tesla thinks.
All right.
Gunzai Chow. Or Sal, C-A-L, Cow. I don't know how to say this guy's name. We're just now going to call him Gunzai. Admitted in a court filing this week that he uploaded zip files containing autopilot source code to his personal iCloud account in late 2018 while still working for the company. Tesla sued Cow earlier this year for allegedly stealing trade secrets related to autopilot and bringing them to Chinese EV startup Xiaoping Motors, also known as X Motors or Xpeng, which is backed by tech giant Alibaba. Chow denied stealing sensitive information from the automaker in the same filing. His legal team argued that he made extensive efforts to delete and or remove any such Tesla files prior to his separation from Tesla. Cow, now the head of perception at Xpeng. God, there's a job title. Head of perception. where he is developing and delivering autonomous driving technologies for production cars, according to his LinkedIn profile. According to a joint filing from the two parties that was also filed this week, Tesla has subpoenaed documents from Apple. While Apple is not involved with the case, a former employee who worked on the tech company's secretive autonomous car project was charged by the FBI with stealing trade secrets last July. That employee allegedly airdropped sensitive data to his wife's laptop and also was caught on CCTV, leaving Apple's campus with a box of equipment. Was leaving with a box of equipment.
Could have been seen with a box of equipment.
Could have been bomb-making materials. Could have been Build-A-Bear. We don't really know.
It was all paper clips and Post-it notes.
Yeah, he's stealing office supplies.
Building a better life by stealing office supplies. Let's see. He left his job at Apple to take a position at Xpeng before being arrested. Cao was also a senior image scientist for Apple for 2 years before he joined Tesla, according to his LinkedIn profile. The suit comes at a time when the U.S. is locked in a trade war with China and has accused the nation of some of its biggest companies of committing so-called economic espionage. Tesla, Apple, Xpeng, and a lawyer from Cao did not respond to a request for comment. In a statement to The Verge earlier this year, Xpeng said it opened an internal investigation into Tesla's allegations and that it fully respects any third-party intellectual property rights and confidential information. Xpeng says it by no means caused or attempted to cause Mr. Cao to misappropriate trade secrets, confidential and proprietary information of Tesla, whether such allegations by Tesla being true or not, and said it was not aware of any alleged misconduct by Mr. Cao. Tesla filed suit against Cao this past March. The former employee was one of around 40 people with direct access to the source code for Autopilot, which is Tesla's advanced driver assistance system. The company claimed Cao began uploading complete copies of Tesla's Autopilot-related source code to his personal iCloud account late last year. Cao zipped and then moved more than 300,000 files and direct users related to Autopilot, according to the complaint. If you guys had all this shit in the logs, why didn't you say something at the time when he still worked for you? Oh, wait, because nobody was reading the logs. Nobody was reading the logs.
Al, how in a company that large do you not have someone dedicated as on the security department, even if it's the fucking intern? Read the fucking logs. It's what they're there for.
It usually is the intern. But, well... Have you ever professionally read logs?
Fuck no. That's why I went into psych and not fucking...
It's a bitch.
Into IT. Yeah, I know.
You know, earlier today I was dealing with logs and I had to figure out that when somebody logged into the VPN, it came up as information notice. Not system, not user authenticated, it was a notice.
Actually, I'll go one better. Have you ever tried to read doctor's notes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that were my logs.
And then to even know what's important in the logs, you have to know what all the computers are supposed to do.
That's right. And I can tell you, again, from personal experience, getting the engineers who built the system to tell you what the computers are supposed to be doing is an exercise in pulling teeth. It is.
I mean, Tesla, being a company that big, you think they would have prioritized something like that within a security, especially because they are developing one of the next big technologies.
Well, I'm just thinking you would think they'd be running a little bit of DLP, you know? And I mean, they must have been running something since they have the file count. Just, you know, I'm sure that's what happened is they probably had all the systems in place. They had all the DLP software. They had everything monitoring. And the alerts probably went off, mass file download. And either they asked him about it, and he's like, oh, no, I just need to make a copy. I'm a dev. Or, you know, they looked at it and said, oh, he's a dev. He must be doing something, you know, allowed. And just nobody looked at it. Nobody thought about it. The fact that he was copying it onto his personal iCloud account should have thrown up more than a few flags.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking if he threw it on his iCloud account, it makes me wonder if he was, like, you know, using his phone to somehow download it. But even so, you can you, I mean, what would he have done? Hooked it up via USB or something? I mean, there are ways to do it, but and I know there are apps that'll let you use your phone as like a file server, but still, there are also just as many ways to run NAC and not let people put unauthorized devices on your network so that they can't copy your source code up and then give it to a Chinese company, which is obviously what it sounds like this guy did.
Give it? No. This man sold it to a Chinese company.
Considering that the Chinese companies are known to offer rewards to their employees who steal intellectual property, I wouldn't put it past.
Like, I'm going to need a job with this salary, these perks, a hot chick, and $1 million. Now, what are you offering?
All you got to do is come to China to claim your prize, madman. Uh-huh. So, yeah, about those demands you wanted. Welcome to the gulag, motherfucker.
Oh, and by the way, we didn't have a hot chick. We got a 4 out of 10 for you, though.
Can we go with 5 out of 10? Come on. We're going averages here.
Come on, guys. At least spring for the cosmetic surgery. Get her up to snuff, you know? that's not right.
I really think that this guy, yeah, I don't know. Fuck it, man.
At the end of 2018, Cao allegedly deleted 120,000 files off his work computer, disconnected his personal iCloud. Damn it, he was running a Mac. He was using his personal iCloud account on his work machine. That's it. That's it right there. He was
auto-saved.
No, well, not just that, but I mean, whoever set up their Macs, instead of managing them, just let their employees do whatever the fuck they wanted with them. Weren't managed. So he hooked it up to his iCloud account, meaning he could do whatever the fuck he wanted. There was no monitoring of it. The reason they have that number count is it's probably from the frickin' Git repo. Come on, guys.
Maybe spend less time smoking weed with Joe Rogan and more time hiring fucking IT security.
Well, I mean, after this. Unfortunately, most companies have to learn it this way. It's not important till it's important. And then about 5 years from now, they'll have to learn it again. You know, because then they've cut all the budget and all the people who knew what the hell was going on have left. Yep. Let's see. Yeah, he deleted 120,000 files off his work computer, disconnected his personal iCloud account, and deleted his browser history all around the same time he accepted a job with XPeng, an EV-based startup in China that makes cars that look very similar to Tesla's. Tesla also claimed Cao recruited another autopilot employee to Zing in February, or XPeng in February. Cao admitted he used his personal iCloud account to create backup copies of certain Tesla information in 2018. In the new court filing, he also admits he created zip files containing autopilot source code in late 2018 and confirmed that XPeng extended him an offer letter on December 12th. He says he disconnected his personal iCloud account from his Tesla-issued computer on or around December 26th and that he kept logging into Tesla's network between December 27th and January 1st. While Cao does not specify when he formally accepted the job at XPeng, Tesla says his last day was January 3rd. He also denies poaching any employees from the autopilot team. That's not even illegal.
Yeah.
There's no reason to lie about that one, right? I mean, that's not illegal. It's not cool from a corporate standpoint. You know, they don't like it when you do that, but
they should have paid him more money. Yeah, I found him a job paying him what he was worth. I'm his friend.
Yeah, that one's not illegal. So, anyways, Cao further admits that he deleted certain files stored on his Tesla computer and cleared his web browser history prior to his separation from employment with Tesla, but denies that any of this activity constitutes any kind of misconduct. According to the filing, though, he disagrees with the number of files that Tesla alleges he stole. He also claims he made extensive efforts to delete and or remove any such Tesla files from his personal iCloud account before he left Tesla, though he does not say if he deleted all the files. In a joint he claims he made extensive efforts to delete and remove any, but he does not say if he deleted all the files. It sounds to me like he's just said he deleted all the files.
No, He said, I made efforts to remove them. There's a difference. If I make an effort to remove all of the pirated content from my apartment and I miss something, I did not commit perjury. Now, if I say I've removed all the pirated content from my apartment while I'm talking to a judge, and then anyone walks in the front door of my apartment, I have an additional charge.
That's Madman out of law. Downtown. Just behind the IHOP.
So, that's why he's phrasing it this way.
Yeah. This is why you get lawyers, kids.
And the joint filing counsel lawyers argue that any source code or other confidential information that remained on his devices after he left Tesla would only be there as a result of inadvertence. He also argued that Cao did not access and has made no use whatsoever of the autopilot trade secrets after he left the company, nor did he transfer any information to Xping. According to the joint filing, Cao has already given Tesla a subset of his electronic devices or digital images of such devices and access to his Gmail account for forensics. Dude. Which is already underway. Xping also voluntarily produced to Tesla a digital image of Cao's work laptop. Damn. They're giving Tesla a copy of one of their machines. That's... Damn.
I would still question how valid that is. It is
it's
what
not.
I decided to give to you.
I would never, in a million years... give them, even if I knew it was clean, I'd never give them a copy of somebody's current employee. I mean, that's just dumb. Because Tesla is going to say, well, you obviously cleaned up the image before you gave it to him. I mean, so you're not going to accomplish anything. And you're going to give them access to anything that he might have had on his laptop from your trade secrets. And you voluntarily gave it to them. So it's not like you've got a case against them. That's just stupid. this is a lawsuit about routine employee offboarding issues that could and should have been resolved by Tesla either through its own human resources or information technology policies. Cao lawyers write in the joint filing, despite the vague innuendo in Tesla's complaint and its recitation of the facts above, that its trade secrets are at risk and that Tesla must learn what Cao has done with Tesla's IP. The truth of the case is that Cao has done precisely nothing with Tesla. Okay, this is just his lawyer, you know, making an argument. Cao digitally and honestly attempted to remove any Tesla. Yeah. So this is where the information security hat comes on. And I ask, why was Tesla allowing him to attach his personal iCloud account to his work laptop in the first place?
And I would have thought in his contract, too, there'd be a non-competition law added in.
Non-competition agreements are hard to enforce.
And yeah, for at least 5 years, man.
Moreover... in a field like that, you can argue that the non-compete removes your ability to earn a living, and it'd be pretty easy to challenge in court.
And then the non-compete, the contract's only good in a country willing to enforce it. He took a job in China.
Oh, yeah.
So, I broke it, bitches. Enforce that. Ooh, you can't.
Yeah, no, I'm following you.
Similar if I were to take a job in, I don't know, New Zealand.
Why would you do something
would
like
you?
That?
Exactly.
I like Kiwis and motorcycles.
Well, get ready for Venezuelan style.
I don't think it'll go that far downhill.
Hey, yeah. If anything, dude, you could go on the Maduro diet. People losing, you know, 10, 15 kilos on that in a couple of months.
Hey, maybe I could do that.
I could do that.
Yeah, but in our country, doing that requires willpower.
Yeah, that's 25 pounds, Morps. I can so do that in a couple of months if I had to. I mean, I would still want to. I can't do it myself because I have no willpower. But
Maduro diet, man. I'm Maduro quite happy diet, to Skype with you once a week, Madman, rant for 3 hours while eating steak.
I just pick up this sandwich.
I'm looking at like three really grains of rice that I have to make last for 2 days. Like, you fucking dick.
See, I feel like if you really wanted to do something like that, you could do it. The hard part would be going to work and, you know, dealing with your regular day-to-day life while doing all that. You know, if you were putting yourself like into some kind of a camp for a couple of weeks or just taking the time off so you could do it, I could see it. I mean, what was the TV show where they took the fat people and made them lose weight?
Last 600-pound life.
Or something like that. Of course it worked. They took them out of their element, put them in front of a TV studio, and made them work out all day long. And, of course, the moment they leave, what happens? Oh, they get fat again.
You're talking about The Biggest Loser.
Oh, is that? Okay. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's see, like, of course they lose weight.
I'm the cunt everyone hates because I'm trying to put weight on.
And Zachris, meth loses your teeth. I'm thinking cocaine. I believe I could do weight loss on that. And I feel less trashy. Because, you know, rich, famous people do cocaine.
Now I need to go find the gif of them handing the guy the CD with the lines of coke on it, and he flips it over to read the tracks.
Like, you fucking dick! But yeah, how do they, if he linked it up to his Apple account, doesn't it show where you're downloading files to when you're downloading them?
If they have access to his Apple account.
Well, just see, it would see not their server, right? I mean, it would be information dumping out of their network.
It sounds like they weren't running any kind of controls on their network at all since they let him hook up his personal iCloud account.
Okay.
Too trusting, man. Too trusting.
There you go, Madman. Found you your GIF.
Anyways. All right, what do we got next?
Next up is from the BBC and is another article you sent me, are you? Or maybe this is the first one you sent me. Yeah, this is the first one because the other one's the last article. Paste this. Anesthetic devices are vulnerable to hackers. Whoops.
Whoops.
Guess what? Hackers can kill people now.
List of things that don't need to be on the fucking internet. One of them is anything controlling nitrous oxide. If you can screw a tube into a tank of nitrous oxide, it does not need an Ethernet port.
Internet of things, my friend. It is coming.
I don't need to be bumbling along the internet, but suddenly find something where I can change the values on and somebody die.
So,
Dare to dream big. That's all I can say.
There's several industrial control systems running things like foundries.
I know. I've been on their website because I watched that same lecture you did because you sent me a link. I should not have had access to that. And Iron Geek should not have told the internet about it. Because there were like five people like me that watch cat videos and didn't know there's a foundry in New Zealand that you can say, ooh, there's a pot. I can move it up and down, left and right, and tell it to pour. And that's a centigrade symbol with six digits in front of it. Someone's going to fucking die.
And in other news today, they found the center of the earth after some jackass dumped the...
I didn't mess with it because I'm like, I know people that work in aluminum foundries. I wouldn't want me to accidentally cook one of them. So there's somebody in New Zealand that knows these people. And they're like,
can you smell what Madman is cooking?
Cook my friend.
A type of anesthetic machine that has been used in NHS hospitals can be hacked and controlled from afar if left accessible on a hospital computer network, a cybersecurity company says. A successful hacker would be able to change the amount of anesthetic delivered to a patient, CyberMDX said. You know, we're sitting there focusing on them, you know, giving too much anesthetic and killing somebody. What if they did the opposite and just said, no, you get no anesthetic? The machine thinks it gave you, you know, maximum dose. You got none.
about 5 minutes into the surgery, you're waking up and they're putting you under again. That's the least bad option. Oh, I hurt for a minute. You're in shock already. You're not going to, it's not going to be, the bad thing is too much.
I don't know, man. Waking up in the middle of them cutting the chest open might be kind of shitty.
The doctor's going to be as freaked out as you are. Then they're going to fix the problem really quickly.
Ah, don't tase me, bro.
It's like, oh, fuck. You're not supposed to be looking at me while I'm looking at your inside. 1 minute, we'll fix this.
Actually,
the,
could you...
Your heart stop.
You could give people... You could set it up to give people the wrong anesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, the thing... You tell it you want morphine. It runs through the roulette reel, and you get something else.
That's painkiller. That's not an anesthesia.
Good point.
But one thing, you could go middle of the road. Not enough to wake up.
Not enough to dull
pain. So you're sitting there paralyzed, unable to say, you fucking have me cut open.
There was a thing about that where they talked about the surgery paralysis. Where that happened.
Few people have experienced it.
That's they're not getting the quite dosage right, because you're 300 pounds and they're used to, you know, normal weight people.
Wake up in the middle of surgery but can't move and you have to feel all... Oh, God. That's how you make a supervillain right there.
It's either that or the killing you. Those are the two bad ones. You waking up's good. They can fix that.
Anesthetic! Whack!
It's like, don't worry. We can mainline this. Straight pipe it right to you. You'll be out in a minute. Count to three, bitch.
Oh,
count
God. Nurse, get the emergency syringe. He's awake. He's noticed us playing with his spleen. Please. Phil, stop tossing it like a football. We got to put it back.
There's automotive stores here that carry ether. They know how to put you under. That's not a problem.
Let's see. A successful attacker would be able to change the amount of anesthetic delivered to a patient, CyberMDX said. Alarms designed to alert anesthesiologists to any danger, or no, that is anesthesiists, could also be silenced. GE Healthcare, which makes the machine, said there was no direct patient risk. But CyberMDX, of course they're going to say that. If they admit that there's patient risk, they get their pantsuit off.
Cycros has got a point. It's not just whether or not you're getting anesthesia. There's a mix to that. We're going to give you not enough O2.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Let's see, but CyberMDX research suggested that the Aspire and Astivia 71,000 and 79,000 devices could be targeted by hackers if left accessible on hospital computer networks. An analysis by BBC Networks found multiple references online to the Aspire and Astivia machines being used in NHS hospitals. Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust Committee, their trust confirmed to the BBC that a small number of the devices were currently in use at its facilities but were being phased out. None of the anesthetic machines are connected to the internet or the NUH network, so there's very little risk of these machines with the NUH, a spokesperson told the BBC. Bullshit! This shit always gets hooked up to the internet because some intern wants to browse Facebook on the monitor. Believe me, I know. I got into a stadium display sign once. Anyways, and could have put whatever I wanted on it. And for a while, we thought about it. Anyways, NHS Digital said it could not confirm to the extent which the machines were still in use across the NHS. We're currently assessing the volume of these particular anesthetic machines in use across England, and we'll be sharing any subsequent advice with trusts in the coming days, a spokeswoman said. Elad Lulz? Really? Elad Lulz. Alrighty. Head of research at CyberMDX said he was aware of hospitals in the U.S. and Asia also use the devices. GE Healthcare said it was satisfied a cyber attack would not introduce a clinical hazard or patient risk. It said this was because anesthetic devices were attended by anesthesiologists and would be monitored for any errors. The company told BBC News it did not plan to release any security updates for the anesthetic machines, but hospitals should use secure network protocols to protect them from would-be hackers. Okay, I've got your secure network protocol for a device like this right here. You remove the Ethernet port, and you take some black two-part epoxy, and you fill the Ethernet port so that nobody else can put the cable back in.
There you go.
It's a little bit of a pain in the butt because you have to manually transfer reports and pull numbers off of it. Yes, it is. Does it prevent somebody from hacking into it and killing your patients? Yes, it does.
I like how they were mentioning targeted. These aren't going to be targeted. No one.
No, it's going to be an accident.
Somebody's going to find it, and they're like, I wonder what I found. Can I get the payroll from here? Let's start entering commands. And there's somebody somewhere across the world getting really, really high or not high enough.
Or, you know, you ever in-mapped a printer? And those things just start spewing out bullshit out of the printer? Somebody scanning one of these things could potentially cause it to just start fucking up. So,
or even crashing it in the middle of a fucking surgery.
Oh, the anesthesia machine just decided to reboot. The anesthesiologist is there monitoring it. It's rebooting all right. This guy's going to need a hit in another couple of minutes. How fast does Windows boot?
I know a guy. And
not
Madman,
fast enough.
I know a guy. And Madman, you met him when I was going to school. He worked for a medical center. And he was their lead tech guy. In fact, he made sure I didn't get a job there by making sure I'd never got an interview because and also, you know, making sure I didn't know when there were openings because he was worried if I was hired there, they'd promote me past him so quick it wasn't even funny. And I was like, dude, you know that's not how I am. And he goes, yeah, no, they still would have. So it's like it didn't matter.
Wow.
Fuck. It's like, yeah, but I need a better job. Come on. But yeah, he told me about one time it wasn't the anesthesiologist machine, it was the camera that they were using in the middle of a surgery crashed. It turned out it was because Windows Update decided to run.
Oh.
And they made him scrub down, go into surgery, and get the machine back up because they could not move any of the tools. While they didn't have a camera on.
Yeah.
His solution was to go grab the second camera machine, pull the computer off of it, and swap them. Because he couldn't get Windows Update to stop running. He was in one of those things where it was just, you know, he was going to try to run every time it came on, no matter what.
Yeah.
So he just made sure the other one wasn't stuck in that and swapped them. But yeah, he had to scrub down twice. Once because they brought him in the first time to see what was wrong, and the second time when he brought the other machine in. So
that's fucked up, man.
But yeah, they
we
can't...
all know someone who actually had this done with an anesthesia machine, except it wasn't Windows updates. It's that the anesthesiologist's credentials expired in the middle of the surgery.
Oh, fuck.
And he was kicked out of the machine. And they got a phone call to get the guy back in the network.
How are people not waiting for the IT stuff in the car park of an evening? You know what I mean?
It happens, dude.
Wow.
It does happen. Because usually what's happened there is like that dude whose credentials expired. If he had bothered to pay attention to the notices that, hey, your password's going to expire. Hey, depending on how they've set their network up, he could have been getting notices for 2 weeks that his password was going to expire.
Okay, so it might not be. It's his inattentiveness. But then again, he's a fucking anesthesiologist, not a fucking IT guy. IT department handle that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically.
My job is to keep the thing alive that's on the table. Your job is to run the fucking network. Like,
but the IT department doesn't need to know his username and password, or they can log in and fuck with shit. They're not supposed to.
I can't tell you the number of times I've been basically told that's your problem, you deal with it, when it's like, yeah, but you're making the problem. If you just did this other thing, which would accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, but I'm busy doing my thing.
That's the usual argument.
Yeah, dude, I'm not playing devil's advocate just to rile you up. No,
that's what they say.
I'm putting myself in that position, like...
The usual argument is, well, that's not how I was told to do it. It's like, yeah, but it does the same thing. Because
what's like a simple, 30-second thing for us sometimes takes the average user a half a day sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm following you now. Why I'm getting all bent out of shape because it's just a 30-second job for me, and then I can go on doing my other job. Yeah, I'm following you, man.
Yeah, I've had those conversations where they had a, we have a policy of passwords expire. I have to do this because otherwise the government comes in and shuts us down. Them's the rules. If government auditors show up, we get fined all the hell. We don't do this shit, right? And then you have, the guy running the systems is like, yeah, but we can't have that account expire during the day. So you need to set that to never expire. And then, it's like, all right, so when are you going to manually change the password? Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but you need to fix that account now. All right. Well, 2 years later, that password still hasn't been changed because every time you bring it up, that sounds like a pain in the ass.
I'm seeing where you're coming from, and, IT and the rest of the fucking business should be friends, but fuck you dudes in IT. You're assholes.
The way you do it, it expires after business hours, and then when they come in the next day and log in, they have to change it. This way, it doesn't expire in the middle of the workday while you're doing surgery.
It's not a bad call, except most places that do surgeries probably do it 24/7.
It's 24/7.
It's also, I can tell you, almost no systems are set up that way. They're all set up to be quite literal. If your company has a 90-day password expiration, it's going to expire, 90 days to the second from when you last changed it. That's just how Windows works.
Yeah, and if you're a shift worker, that could be an issue. Like, especially if you work like different shifts each week, not actually nailed down.
Now, I will say there are other companies that sell software that lives on top of, the Active Directory and the LDAP stuff that will manage things like that for you. But it's really difficult to get that shit past auditors because it's wrong or doesn't fit the problem. It's because most auditors are not actually trained in the software. They're looking for the screenshot of the same Active Directory, group policy that they've seen 100 other places. And if you don't show them that exact thing, it's a violation. So, well, no, I'm solving that problem over here, but differently. Yeah, no, that's a violation. You have to have this policy set. And then you end up in a long-ass argument with your auditors.
But we are doing it. They are changing it every 90 days. Actually, it's every 89 days and 45 minutes. Because the way we're doing it, they're doing it slightly early because it's when they come in the morning.
Yeah, and then you end up having to bring in a senior auditor and they'll want to do random samples and you have to show them the logs. Oh my God, dude, it is such a pain in the ass when you get... I've had an auditor who had a finding that we had not ran Windows updates on our Linux servers. Because the way he interpreted the policy was that Windows updates would be run on all computers.
It's a Linux server. You just said no Windows updates on a Linux server.
That's right. And that was a finding. And we had to go back to the company and say, this is literally nonsensical.
It's a Linux server. They would do Linux updates.
And look, they've been run. Now, on Linux, it's a little bit different to show when they were last run because this, it is a little different. But it's just like, literally, he fully expected a screenshot of the last time Windows updates was run from that system. And because he didn't get it, that machine had never been updated.
Yeah, it's never been updated with Windows. It's a Linux server.
This is my point. Most of these auditors, they're not technologists. They're auditors.
Maybe I have too much hope for people, but I have known for a very, 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 very long time there was more than one operating system.
That's because you heard me bitching about it.
When I was buying computers, I had the option of multiple for about 4 years, maybe five. I've seen many.
You still have the option for multiple. It's just, you know.
Okay, pre-installed from the store is what I was meaning.
Yeah.
Not that I can do it on my own.
There's several. You can go online and find Linux machines. You can go online and find Apple machines. You can go online and find Windows machines. I haven't seen a Solaris box in a while, though. Or OS 2.
I was thinking walking into a brick-and-mortar store, because for a while, eMachines and a few others at the store, you could pick between Linux and Windows.
You can do that now. Go in Best Buy. You'll see them selling Windows machines and Macs. Not Linux, but, well, the Chromebook. Yeah, Chromebooks. So, yeah, you can still do that now.
Oh, Chromebook didn't come with Mac or... No, that's Android.
Chromebooks are their own thing.
Yeah, they run Android. I was thinking the OS.
They run a hacked up version of Gentoo, not Android, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. I thought Chrome moved to an Android OS.
No, it'll run Android on top of it. They've taken the Java crap they wrote for Android and basically ported it over from Android x86 on top of Chrome, and good chunk of the apps will actually work if you have the right hardware, but they've strangely locked it down to certain revisions of the hardware. Because like I've got a Chromebook Pixel 1 that absolutely has the horsepower to do all of this stuff, but it's just not supported, so it never got the update. So one of these days I'll open it up, pull the write protect screw out of it, and flash it with a BIOS and let it be a real computer. But
I like that. Let it be a real computer. One day you'll be a real boy.
So, anyways, moving on. This next one is from Medium.com, specifically the Bug Bounty Write-Up account. And this one is just funny. A vulnerability in the Mac Zoom client, and if anybody doesn't know, Zoom is a competitor to WebEx. It's online meeting collaboration software, so voice chat, video feed, whiteboard, screen sharing, that kind of thing. A lot of companies use it because it's a hell of a lot cheaper than WebEx and still pretty good. A vulnerability in the Mac Zoom client allows any malicious website to enable your camera without your permission. It's actually worse than that. The flaw potentially exposes up to 750,000 companies around the world that use Zoom to conduct day-to-day business. Let's see, CVE 2019-13449 and 13450. And there was an update on July 9th. As far as they can tell, it also hits Ring Central, which is, you know, a white-labeled version of Zoom. Also, another update on July 9th, according to Zoom, they will have a fixed version shipping by midnight tonight, Pacific time, removing the hidden web server. Oh, good. Yep, you heard me right. Hidden web server. The vulnerability allows any website to forcibly join a user to a Zoom call with their video camera activated without a user's permission. On top of this, wow. The vulnerability would allow any web page to DOS a Mac by repeatedly joining a user to an invalid call. Additionally, if you've ever installed the Zoom client and uninstalled it, you still have a localhost web server on your machine that will happily reinstall the Zoom client for you without requiring any user interaction on your part besides visiting a web page. The reinstall feature continues to work till to this day, which was, I guess this was on the 9th. So what they did to get around permissions issues is when the first time you installed the Zoom client on a Mac, it set up a little hidden server, and that server was running as a root, so it can do whatever it wants. So instead of asking for permission, instead, when you join a Zoom call, it's linking the Mac to that, you know, localhost web server, initiating the Zoom software, and if you don't have the Zoom software, it will happily reinstall it for you, and there's no way to turn it off.
Helping. Modern software for modern times.
Yep. This feature leverages the amazingly simple Zoom feature where you can send anyone a meeting link. For example, you know, and then the guy gives a link. When they open that link in their browser, Zoom client is magically opened on their local machine. I was curious how this bit, amazing bit of functionality was implemented, and found out it had been implemented, securely. Come to find out, it really hadn't been implemented securely. Nor could I figure out a good way to do this that didn't require additional bit of user interaction to secure. The vulnerability was originally responsibly disclosed on March 26th of 2019. The initial report included a proposed description of a quick fix Zoom could have implemented by simply changing their server logic. It took Zoom 10 days to confirm the vulnerability. The first actual meeting about the vulnerability would be patched occurred on June the 11th, only 18 days before the end of the 90-day public disclosure deadline. During this meeting, the details of the vulnerability were confirmed and Zoom's planned solution was discussed. However, I means the author here, was very easily able to spot and describe bypasses in their planned fix. At this point, Zoom was left with 18 days to resolve their vulnerability. On June 24th, after 90 days of waiting, the last day before the public disclosure deadline, I discovered Zoom had only implemented the quick fix solution originally suggested. Yeah, that sounds like a company. Yeah, who's this guy? Fuck this guy. We're doing it our way. Yeah. Ultimately, Zoom failed at quickly confirming that the reported vulnerability actually existed, and they failed at having a fix to the issue delivered, blah, 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 blah. So he's got a timeline and he's got details. Basically, if you're running a Mac and you're running Zoom, you have a local server running on port 19.421, and that server can be exploited, and you can send commands to it to force it to join calls, activate the camera, reinstall Zoom if they've removed it. They were doing the whole responsible disclosure thing, which is you just disclose to the company, try to work with them. If they don't work with you, you give them a timeline of like, well, okay, I plan on disclosing this in 3 months. So, and then, you know, one of a couple things happens. Either the company ignores you till you disclose it, and then, you know, they panic and get it fixed within a week or so of it getting disclosed. Or they come back and say, okay, we'll work with you. Can you give us more time? Blah, 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 blah. Or the third thing that happens, not so much anymore, but it still happens occasionally, which is why I always like the idea of working through one of the vulnerability brokers. There's several of them out there. They sue you. They sue you for, you know, whatever bullshit they can come up with to try to keep you quiet.
You hacked our software to figure out it was broken.
Yeah, that's usually how that works, right? So the company will sue or threaten to sue to try to make the problem go away. We even talked about the story where, a couple of months back where the couple of guys found a vulnerability in, I forget what the software was now, but when they couldn't get an answer out of the guys, then they, you know, the company, at first they were promised, oh yeah, here, we're going to give you the bug bounty. We're going to work with you. Then a few months later, they got, you know, a threat of a lawsuit. So then they tried to go meet one of the guys at a conference who worked for the company, and the guy who worked for the company punched the dude in the face. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's, yeah. So, anyways, that's fun. Next article. you have anything on that? On Zoom? I don't know. I mean, I know RU's probably never used it, but I don't know if you've had call to use it, Madman.
Nope. My company's on a different platform.
WebEx?
Yes.
Yeah, it's usually one of the two. So... yeah, we're on WebEx too, so it's, you know, Zoom basically does the same thing as WebEx or the business version of Skype for anybody who uses the Office 365 thing. I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say it has better audio quality. That's debatable since most people dial into it from cell phones, but, you know, hey, each their own, right? But it's just Mac vulnerability is a thing. It's like, yeah, we're just going to put this massive hole in your machine. Have a nice day.
Yeah, no one hacks Macs anyway. Right? Right? You're invulnerable.
Unhackable.
You guys are going to break the snare drum.
Is it just me, or does anybody else have trouble hearing on a mobile phone?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
And regular phone calls, man. I don't know. I just... Audio quality drop is just terrible. Maybe I'm spoiled.
It depends on...
using good shit.
Yeah, it depends on the phone call, how they're connected. Like, if you've got a good connection, especially one where they're doing the whole enhanced voice thing, so it's actually a VoIP call, yeah, they're fine. Usually using a decent headset or a good set of Bluetooth earbuds so that there's not, it's not really noisy or hard to hear. What always drives me nuts is when you're talking to somebody and they're, doing something, not using a headset, or they're using one of the crappy headsets where the microphone can swing around. And so their voice, the volume on their voice just keeps going nuts, or they're, they can't quite get the phone positioned right so that you can barely hear them, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking hate people using hands-free while they're out walking around and shit. Like, so you can hear the whole fucking call.
Or worse, you've got the guy who's, they're on the phone, but they're doing something else, so you're sitting there hearing the heavy breathing and the cables rustling around or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually me, actually. Now that I think about it. It's like, what are you doing? I'm playing Beat Saber. It's like, gross. Do that on... What? No, it's a VR game.
Yeah, that's what you tell us, but... Not entirely certain about that.
Yes, Phil. I was rubbing my leg.
All right, next article is from theindependent.co.uk. Google employees listen to audio recordings on Google Home smart speakers, the technology giant has admitted. Language experts are employed to analyze snippets of recordings made by users, which Google claims help improve its voice recognition technology. This is then used to develop the Google Assistant artificial intelligence system, which is used in Google Home smart speakers and Android smartphones. The assistant understands and responds to voice commands given to it, answering queries about the news and weather, as well as being able to control other internet-connected devices around the home. In a statement, the company said a small number of anonymous recordings were transcribed by its experts and revealed that an investigation had been launched after some Dutch audio data had been leaked. The article goes on, basically explaining why they're doing this. Nothing too crazy. And then the latter half of the article is actually leading into the next article we have for Decking, which is kind of the prelude to this, or consequence of this. These companies employ people to listen to these voice recorders, is my point.
Where do they advertise jobs like this?
Craigslist. I'm sure they advertise it as language expert, working on voice recognition AI, some other bullshit, right? They don't say you're going to listen to Alexa recordings day in and day out, transcribe the ones that we flagged that the software couldn't understand or where the user started cursing at the thing. And it's probably got to be one of the most soul-crushing jobs.
I reckon, man. I'd do it.
Especially
'cause I'd do it for a paycheck.
You probably have to listen to, where somebody's put it in the bathroom and it's actually gone off, where they're having an adventure of a time. After the Taco Bell.
Just say, hand me my USB stick. We got some audio recordings to fucking play around with.
Well, because I make that joke because I know people who got one of the Echo devices, and because they're worried about it listening to them all the time, they put it in the bathroom, right? So it's that way it's not hearing them most of the time, and if it does hear them, some poor engineer has to deal with, them going from, has to deal with the lovely music of dropping the kids off at the school. So, or drop the pool. I was dropping the kids off at the pool. I'll get the joke right eventually.
Dropping the Browns off at the Super Bowl?
There you go.
Disavow.
Somebody going up a level, the toilet humor there is just not going to go away. So, leading in from that of just Google admitting people listen to it, from this week, the voice assistant or people will be able. I read that wrong. Let's try scrolling up and trying again. People will be able to get health advice expert health advice using Amazon Alexa devices under a partnership with the NHS, National Health Service, the government has announced. From this week, the voice assistant technology is automatically searching the official NHS website when the UK users ask for health-related advice. The government in England said it could reduce demand on NHS. Privacy campaigners have raised data protection concerns, but Amazon says all information will be kept confidential. The partnership was first announced last year, and now talks are underway with other companies, including Microsoft, to set up similar arrangements. Previously, the device provided health information based on a variety of popular responses. The use of voice search is on the increase and is seen as particularly beneficial to vulnerable patients, such as elderly people and those with visual impairment who may struggle to access the internet through more traditional means. So, yeah, as opposed to getting... So Amazon has partnered with the British government so that instead of getting, you know, WebMD, Wikipedia, a range of sources when you ask the thing a health question, you now get information from the National Health Service. Period. So this is the government controlling the flow of information. And, oh, yes, they're asking you to tell the talking tube that records everything you say to better market to you to tell it about your health issues.
Things I'll never do for $500, Bill.
I wonder, are they going to connect you to, like, a live nurse?
God, no. It's searching a database. Here, next article or next paragraph. Under the partnership, Amazon's algorithm uses information from the NHS website to provide answers to questions such as how do I treat a migraine and what are the symptoms of chickenpox and what color should that toe be? I may have added that last one. Health should that have fallen off?
Signs of leprosy.
Did both of my armpits smell the same?
What should earwax smell like?
How much petroleum jelly is too much petroleum jelly?
Consumed or applied topically? Oh, fuck. Hey, Alexa, it's been 5 hours and the erection hasn't gone down. What should I do?
Get a better class of prostitute.
Take one roofing nail. Apply to the base of the... Okay, we're going to stop that joke right now because I just realized where it was going.
If you're going to go anything like that, you can buy a syringe.
Working insurance into Alexa. Oh, that's a thing, though. So... Cycross is talking about working insurance into Alexa would be tough because they're talking about actually doing telemedicine over the thing, which I could see that. You know, it's saying, you know, after you run through the call tree of responses, it says, let me get you a nurse. And then you come up, help, I fell down the stairs, send an ambulance. The computer response said that you're asking for help, sir. Oh, God. You know, I can see how that
fuck
goes.
Off. They're going to diagnose people like computer issues.
Have you tried turning it off and on again, sir?
Yeah, that's what I'm fucking, yeah. Have you tried bending it back and forth, sir?
Oh! Yep, it's broken. My arm bent away, it shouldn't.
Is that the 45-degree or 90-degree angle, sir?
I don't have a compass with me to measure it.
Protractor.
What is your user and make a number, sir?
I need to put a number down, sir. 90. Yeah.
Fuck me. Like, it's the last thing I want. You know, it's fucking having to call a telephone help service to diagnose a fucking problem before I'm allowed to go into a hospital.
I'm just thinking, that's where I'm going with this, right?
That's where it's going, man.
What Cycross got me thinking about was, what if your insurance starts requiring you to run through an Alexa or something like that first before you go to a medical professional because it's cheaper.
That's what I'm thinking, dude. They're going to connect you with some fuckhead from Delhi. You know, he's got a degree in computer engineering, but fuck it, he's now your local advisory
running through the glossy checklist.
Yeah.
Well, no, because then it all ends up like WebMD, right? It's like, yeah, my left foot hurts. According to the flow chart on the screen, sir, you have cancer. Mm-hmm. So, according to this, you have breast cancer, sir. Wait, what? So.
wanted to order a pizza, for fuck's sake. Now I got AIDS.
I think I have clicked something wrong, sir. It says you have ovarian cancer. Wait, what?
Don't it's you need ovaries for that?
It's man.
Did one of them in the debates want to give abortion services to trans men or whatever it was?
Yes.
Yes.
We don't need to talk about him.
We're not, but I just... Come on.
Wait, this is fucking nightmarish, man. UK, like, they are just fucking zooming ahead into, like, the most cyberpunk dystopian fucking nightmare future. Like...
Well, the rest of the article is pretty much a predictable fare, right? Of the NHS saying, we're trying to provide better services through technology. And the privacy groups going, what the fuck is wrong with you? So...
But the best part about the British, dude, it can completely be broken, on fire, and they'll turn around and go, best in the fucking world. This is the best shit. I'm happy to have it. British people are so fucking stoic about their NHS that it's complete fucking mess right now over there. I have some friends who work in the NHS, and it's on fire, the whole fucking program. Their
it's
population.
Not just the Brits, dude. We've done social studies on this. People are happy with the medical care they have generally, so long as they see the people around them have similar medical care. So you'll get a lot of happy people in, like, Cuba, where the medicine's free, but you have to provide your own doctor and everything, simply because everyone else has the same crap healthcare.
So it's the power out fallacy. It's like, well, if my power's out, that's a tragedy. But if everyone on the block's power's out, then that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. Like,
and nobody likes change. So even if your plan is good, everyone's going to be opposed to it. That happened with the Obamacare here. Prior to its implementation, the overwhelming vast majority of people said they didn't like they didn't want a change. Even those who didn't like their health care. And then once it was implemented, it switched to nobody wanted it to be changed back, because that's what they have now. People do not like change.
Well, I have to say, ours is pretty good because I've had some dealings with it this year. I mean, I go in, see a doctor, the next day I'm seeing a specialist, and... 2-3 days after that, I'm getting surgery.
Yeah, you told us when some of that was going on that you were really surprised compared to how it went the time before that.
Yeah, like everybody said it's going to be an absolute fucking nightmare, and yeah, dude, smooth as. And I mean, I walked in the emergency ward 2 years ago to get some stuff done. I think, and it wasn't like my arm was falling off or anything like that. It was like, yeah, I've got to have this done, but. I do it myself or get them to do it. And it was like 2 to 3 hour wait. And then I'm in, you know, I can't complain about ours, but when you talk to people who've come from Australia to go work in the UK in the NHS, they just say, holy shit, apples and oranges, man. Well, like wait times can be 40 hours. You're lucky.
I wonder if it's something to do too with like, whether like what ailment you have matters with that kind of stuff.
Well, dude, it's triage.
Yeah.
Like if you're in there and you've just got like, say, a broken hand and a kid comes in with a broken hand, the kid goes first or the elderly woman goes first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's population's growing so large that they haven't been able to keep up with it.
They have a doctor shortage.
Yeah, and the thing is they bring the doctors in from, you know, second world countries and stuff like that, and people get pissed. It's bad enough getting fucking really shitty news about your health, but being patronized in a fucking Pakistani voice, like, fuck you, man. I fucking hate that shit. There's nothing wrong with Pakistani doctors and stuff like that. So I don't want to hear it like a fucking phone support tech telling me I've got cancer.
But you know, I know they're trying to do Brexit now, but yeah, bullshit. We'll see what happens.
It'll never happen.
With the whole, you know, free movement, what's that called? The Schengen Agreement? Where anybody can go into any European country? I mean, is that a... I imagine that's got to be a hell of a strain on the health system there, where you got people come in from, you know, God knows where, somewhere else in Europe, end up in England for the free health care because they've got something wrong with them and need the surgery, right?
They tell you that wasn't, that never happened, but...
Oh, bull.
I don't know, man. I fucking heard some stories about Bulgarians and shit like that.
Of course that happened. You've always... No matter what system you build, somebody's going to show up to take advantage of
it. Yeah.
So, of course, there's people doing that. Now, is it a significant number of that? I don't know. But it seems like a plausible thing to be concerned
they
about.
They won't keep the fucking numbers or tell you the numbers anyway. It's the same with a lot of American cities now not keeping gang registries anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, and again, it's like I said, I don't know. It could be, it could not be, but it seems like a plausible question to ask, you know?
If anybody thinks we're being fucking racist or anything like that, go watch Chernobyl. Just watch that and then realize they're fucking lying about shit and see what happens.
Don't go take naked pictures there.
Oh, dude, if you're going to Chernobyl for a holiday, get butt naked and roll in the dirt, baby.
Gross. People are doing that. That's why I threw that in there.
So I've not watched this show. What the fuck is it about getting naked in a nuclear reactor? I've missed something
here. It has nothing to do with the show. It's just that the producers of the show felt it necessary because so many people were doing it to tell their fans don't.
Don't do it.
It has to do with stupid people. People are stupid.
It's like the people riding the fucking sea turtles that are trying to fucking lay eggs. You can tell them all you want not to do it. They're going to fucking do it. So just encourage it. It weeds out the stupid.
I like sea turtles.
Well, you better go to Malaysia and start kicking some of those Chinese tourists off their backs.
All right, let's move on to this. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. They're both awesome lists, so if you're not familiar with these, this is getting to be a little bit more of a common practice where you pick a subject, somebody sets up a GitHub repo, and basically they just collect a whole bunch of links to different projects and information and, you know, whatever about a subject. So you'll see it for software development or Python or whatever. And so this one is open data sources. Similar to the link I had last week from the LA Times, which just had a bunch of random data in it. This one is a large collection of links with various information in it. You know, various governments, statistics, just all kinds of, you know, CIA fact book shit, right? So maybe not the most useful thing in the world, but if you're doing a research project or just really curious or drunk out of your mind and bored or fucking high and wanting to see just how much, you know, how many people live in China so you can freak out about it, you know, there's all kinds of stuff here. But, you know, sports, time series, transportation statistics, plane crashes since 1920. Here's one, the plane crash database from 1920. And yeah, you can click that and you get planecrashinfo.com/database. And there's all the plane crashes from 2018. That's not a lot of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Looks like about 20. They've got 20 cataloged there for 2018. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it seems like
They're not commercial airliners, though. Because there was only 3 this year so far, commercial airliners.
This has, for this year, 9.
9?
9.
Okay.
Karaj Iran Sahir Air on January the 14th. It's a Boeing 707.
Yeah, there was those 707 crashes, and what are they classing as a crash, though?
It doesn't say, but if you, let's see, cargo plane was operated by the Iranian Air Force. The plane was to land on runway 30, but instead landed on runway 31. Plane went off the roadway, smashed through the airport wall, separating the airport And broke up and caught fire. Only the flight engineer survived. Let's look at the one from Houston. ATC lost radar contact with cargo jet 30 miles southeast of George Bush International Airport. Plane crashed into the Trinary Bay and broke apart in muddy water about 5 feet deep. So there's probably a severity level to it. I don't know what it is from those two examples.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, there's all kinds of crap like that on this particular GitHub repo. So, you know, have fun exploring, and if you're looking to win at Trivial Pursuit, this kind of stuff's always useful.
Ooh, does it list anything about bombings?
Control F, bomb. Nope, nothing I can find about there. But Terrorism Research and Analysis Consortium.
Man, you may need to look under cultural enrichment for that.
And it goes to trackingterrorism.org. So this is a starting point if you're trying to find information about something, right? This isn't necessarily just going to be a direct link to it. Some of it's more direct than others. And then the second thing I have for you tonight is another GitHub awesome list. And this one's awesome cellular hacking, because why not? They've got links here to all kinds of different projects for, doing evil BTS, GSM traffic impersonation. Pretty sure most of that's illegal. How to, running stingrays, scanning, media alerts. This stuff that came up a few weeks ago about people abusing the presidential alert system, that's in here. Not as big a list as the open data one, but if you're interested in, fucking around with cell phones, it's a way to do it. And lots of good places to start here as well. But that's it. That's all I've got. Brain fart show notes, right? Listen to the stream, we're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday ish that's I know that's been spotty, but Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. Madman, closing thoughts.
Yeah, Starcraft is fun. We got that.
There you go. Are you closing thoughts?
Not sure if we're doing IHN this week. Depends. Everyone's around.
Well, that would have been my next question. So,
yeah. Got plenty of stories. Ready to go. Got like fucking 19 intros now.
yeah, sorry about last week.
We just keep
week.
Making just, them for shows we're not doing.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about last week, but stuff came up, so.
Dude, real life first, man. Real life first. Like, yeah. I don't know. Cool thing on the internet last night. Just watching a movie. Me and another dude. Don't even know who it was. Just had a chat. Just a regular old chat to a complete fucking stranger during Casino. Just talking about different movies.
Casino is a good movie.
It is, man. And we ended up talking Star Trek, fucking everything, man. All just through text chat. The random dude.
Fun.
What's up, buddy? Yeah. Occasionally the internet still is cool. That's it for me.
That's all I got. Madman, anything else before we hit the buttons?
Nope.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sounds good, no doubt. It's all tonight.
But shut up, Wesley.